Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew, the fifth chapter. And we're going to look to begin our journey this morning at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now, Matthew, for those of us who are familiar with Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, it was written primarily to a Jewish audience to basically convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that they as a nation was looking for. And we are familiar, most of us, with Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, because there we find what has been called the Beatitudes, all right, in that Sermon on the Mount, all right? But I want to kind of zero in on something in Matthew chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 20. I have the Amplified Classic Version. And this is what it says. Now, this is Jesus teaching. He said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness, your uprightness, and your right standing with God is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Powerful statement there Jesus is making. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness, your uprightness, and right standing with God is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is a thought that hit my mind a few days ago as I was preparing this, and it's basically a thought, the narrow gate. The narrow gate. Now, those of us who are somewhat familiar with the Word of God, with our Bibles, we know that the Pharisees and the scribes were some interesting people, I'll say. They were some interesting people, and Jesus had some issues with the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the ones who had the responsibility of copying the scriptures and putting them, writing them down, and the Pharisees were some of the ones that had certain positions in the temple, certain positions in the synagogues, if you will, who took charge and authority over the services, if you will. And we can recall when Jesus at one time in his public ministry went into the sanctuary and one of the scribes handed him the scripture to read, and he read in Isaiah. All right, so the scribes in particular, the Pharisees are an interesting bunch to take a look at, if you will. And we should not want to be identified with a spirit like the Pharisees. We should not want in our day and time that we are living in to be characterized as having a pharisaical attitude or thank you, perspective or personality. All right? Because in the same book, Jesus, if you will, reads the Pharisees. Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders, or the supposed religious leaders of Jesus' day. And Jesus had some issues with them. So We'll stay in Matthew, but I want to bring some enlightenment and reminders how you can identify a Pharisee, even in 2022 and beyond. As long as the Lord allows us to stay here, I want to share with us some of the tendencies and characteristics of the Pharisees, because remember in the verse we read initially, unless your righteousness, your uprightness, and your right standing with God is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So in Matthew 23, beginning at verse number 1, here we see Jesus again speaking. Watch this. He said, then Jesus said to the multitudes and to his disciples. So it was more than his disciples at that setting, right? It were many people. Watch. Verse number 2. The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat of authority. Verse 3. So observe and practice all they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. Lord, have mercy. They're sitting in the seat of authority. And what they tell you, what they read to you out of the scriptures is right. So if they're preaching what the scriptures contained, and we have to know and understand that at that particular time, the scriptures was the Old Testament. But Jesus is saying they are sitting in the seat of authority, sitting in Moses' seat. So observe and practice all they tell you. As long as you're listening to the word of God, you have to do what the word of God says. But he sheds some light on them. He says, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They're telling you what God says, but they're not telling themselves. They're telling you and preaching to you, but they're not doing a thing that they're preaching. They're not doing a thing that they're teaching. Characteristic of a Pharisee. Drop down to verse number 13 in the same 23rd chapter. Here Jesus again says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites. Lord, have mercy. Jesus is calling them out. He says, you a bunch of pretenders and hypocrites. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, for you neither enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are about to go in to do so. Actors, religious actors, performers, pretenders, hypocrites. And it's sad to say, but it's accurate to say, there are some Pharisees in the land. There's some Pharisees in the land. Verse 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you swallow up widows' houses, and for a pretense to cover it up, make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive the greater condemnation and the heavier sentence. Look at that. Hypocrites. Pretenders. With these flowery words in your long prayers, and you're taking advantage of the widows. Is that going on in 2022? Am I in the right place this morning? Because I want to point out the characteristics again and habits and the tendencies of Pharisees, so we're not in that category. But we want to be able to identify those Pharisees and that mindset and that perspective. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel over sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes one, a proselyte, you make him doubly as much a child of hell as you are. Jesus is not pulling any punches here. Huh? He ain't playing. Listen, time is out for religious actors. Time is out for people declaring the word and hearing the word and not doing what the word says. He said, you are hypocrites and pretenders. You will go all out. You will travel near and far to convert somebody to your way of thinking, to your way of living. And when you convert them, you make them a double child of hell. Lord, have mercy. He says, as you are, you a double child of hell, and you might, and you're trying to get folks to go with you. Lord, have mercy. Woe to you, verse 16, blind guides who say if anyone swears by the sanctuary of the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the goal of the sanctuary, he is a debtor bound by his oath. See, they were concerned with money. They were overly concerned with money. And Jesus was calling them out. Verse 25, I'm still in Matthew 23. Jesus is still declaring, he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. So you're looking good. You go and you get yourself decked out. You spend your coins and your bills, and you make sure you got it all together. You're looking good. You're sharp. You got your shoes shined. You got your hair did. You got your nails. You didn't have your pedicure and your manicure, and you got your perfume and your cologne on, but inside, that's what really matters. The outside of the plate looks good, but inside you're full of extortion. You're full of prey. That means you're preying on people. You have a mindset to prey on people, to take advantage of people. You want to spoil people. You want to use people. You want to plunder people. And you're grasping self-indulgence. You want to try to get over on people. But you call yourself a child of God. You call yourself a representative of God. Now, that's not you. I'm still talking about the Pharisees here. I'm not talking about you. Only if that's you. If that's you, then you're being exposed this morning. He said, you blind Pharisees, verse 26, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate so that the outside may be clean also. Listen. In order for a Pharisee to be clean, the first thing he has to do is come clean. You got to come clean with God. You have to, if you're a Pharisee, I don't know if you're on the campus or not, or in the building, but just in case there's a Pharisee in here, just in case there's someone who has been smitten with the mindset and a perspective of a Pharisee, just in case you think you got people fooled, just in case you think just making an appearance somewhere in a house of God, just because you think that you may volunteer here and there and do certain things, and you might even financially support this house or another house of worship, but if you're dirty on the inside, you are what the Bible called, if I'm correct in reading and understanding this, a pretender and a hypocrite. Yeah, you look good, you smell good, and you even know church phrases. But you're still dirty on the inside. If that's you, God wants you to come clean today, because as we're going to see as we continue, you got to come through the narrow gate. And the Pharisees won't make it through the narrow gate. Now, the Pharisees like walking on the broad way. They like walking on the broad path. Verse 27 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites." See, I like how Jesus keeps nailing that fact down. He says you are a Pharisee, and then he unpacks who the Pharisees really are. They're pretenders. They're hypocrites. Oh, Lord, help me here this morning. Sometimes, people know. Here's a problem. Have you ever seen this? I'm not saying that it's you. People know how to play church. People know how to play church. People know how to make an appearance in the house of God. People know how to wave their hands and when to wave their hands. People know how to sway. Oh Lord, help me here. And people can even fake a quickening. Oh God, did I say that? Yes. And, oh Lord, and there are some people that will even in the convenience of their own home practice a shout. Oh Lord, help me here. I remember, not y'all, but I remember when I was in a Baptist church years ago, I saw a few people practicing their shout. Lord, help me here today. So, good actors. Good actors, they're pretenders, hypocrites, practice, go on practice, verse 27, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure. Look at that. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones and everything impure. You know, we often say that we want our lives, we as the children of God and people of God, we are endeavoring that our lives will come up before God as a sweet smelling savor. But if you are a Pharisee, if you are a pretender, if you are a hypocrite, your life, the fragrance of your life stinks. Lord, have mercy. I ain't running and jumping, but I'm on target. Just so you also outwardly, watch this, seem to people to be just and upright. But inside, you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity. See, your audience, you think your audience is people. That's why you do what you do, because you think your audience is people. So you outwardly seem to people, oh, I thought so-and-so was saved. I thought brother so-and-so. I thought sister so-and-so. No, they ain't saved. Never was saved. But they some good actors. Help us, Jesus. You, on the outside, you seem to people to be just and upright, but inside you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity. Woe to you, verse 29, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, For you build the tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous. Oh, Lord, help me. You had all the homegoings. Ah, God, help me. You had all the funeral services. You buy the biggest bouquets and flower arrangements. For you build the tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we have lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have aided them in shedding the blood of the prophets. But you talk about the prophets. Thus, you are testifying against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. So you're talking about yourself and your whole generation, a generation of pretenders, a generation of hypocrites, a generation of actors. And God told us that accept our righteousness, accept our righteousness is more than these actors, is more than these pretenders. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but a lot of people aren't doing what's necessary to get there. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they're not doing what's necessary for them to get there. When we preach homegoing services, we can't put nobody nowhere. The life that you live on this side of eternity determines your destination. It determines where you will end up. It determines whether you see God in peace, or it determines whether God tells you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Once you take your last breath on this side, you have no more breaths to take. Once this side of eternity, you're at your last day, you need to make sure that before your last day comes, and here's something, you don't know when your last day is, but you need to make sure that before your last day comes, that you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. You need to make sure that you have biblical salvation. And if you have biblical salvation, if you repented of your sins and been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, if you have in fact received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, then you are in the kingdom of God. Anything else is not exactly, if I can borrow something from the commercial of Hertz. Remember they say either it's Hertz or it's not exactly. So either it's salvation or it's not exactly. So God is telling us as he exposes the Pharisees' mindset, the Pharisees' behavior, the Pharisees' characteristics and their actions. This is how you determine what a person really is in their life. This is how God determines it, because some actors are real good actors. Some actors have been acting out in church for a very long time and have some people convinced that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so is really a brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But they might be good actors. They might can receive, if you will, an Academy Award for acting religious. But God is the final judge, because I hear God declare in his word that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God, he is a the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. You might fool me. You might be able to okey-doke me, but you sure can't fool God, and you can't pull the wool over his eye. So God is exposing. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for the instruction in his word that lets us see the behavior and the pattern and the motive operandi, if you will, of a Pharisee. I don't want nothing in my life that looks similar to a Pharisee, to a hypocrite, or to a pretender. So God says now in Matthew chapter number 7, beginning at verse number 13, hear the word of Jesus again. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's a whole lot of people that's on the road to destruction, because there's room enough for everybody that don't want to listen to God. There's room enough. It's spacious and it's broad, and it leads to destruction. But I hear God said, we have to enter through the narrow gate. One thing about the narrow gate, you're going to be tested in this narrow gate, in this narrow way. You're going to be tested and you are going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged just because we are in an evil environment. You're going to be challenged because the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, wants to do everything that he can to pull you away from your confidence in God. But God is telling us through his word, it's going to be many who go in through that wide gate. I don't want to go in through the wide gate, because that path, it leads to destruction. They are, again, as Jesus said, a double child of hell. And I come to declare to somebody and remind some of us that hell is not for us. It is not our destiny. It was not created for the child of God, but hell was designed for Satan himself and for all those that will follow him. And the Bible declares that hell increases itself without measure. So as many people that refuse to obey the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and many people that will turn their nose up to the good news, hell is making room for you. So you're on that broad path. You think you're living your best life, but you might have some material things to your advantage. But I hear God declare in his word, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So go on with your religious activity. Go on, try to impress people. Listen, I ain't here to impress nobody. But one thing and one individual I want to impress is God himself. What you think about me, it matters somewhat, but it don't matter a whole lot. But what matters the most in my life is what God knows about me, what God knows about us. And when we surrender to God and God fills us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, then when we get the Holy Ghost, it's time for us to yield to God's Spirit, because I hear God declare in his word that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are in fact the sons of God. What good is it to have the Holy Ghost and then don't follow the direction of the Holy Ghost? Lead me, God. Listen, we can't lead ourselves. We can't direct ourselves. It's not in man to direct his way. But I hear God say, if you allow me, if you would yield to the Spirit of God, then we are in fact the children of God. And sometimes God's Spirit will lead us in a difficult spot. Sometimes God's Spirit will lead us in a challenging environment. I read something the other day, or it might have been this morning, and it was talking about, and it gave me a clearer understanding of the pruning of God. Glory, hallelujah. Listen, I want to declare to somebody that pruning and punishment are two different things. Glory, hallelujah. Listen, God will prune us. Sometimes he will cut some things off of us that needs to be cut. But when he prunes us, he's grooming us. Oh, glory, hallelujah. When he prunes us, just like a gardener. Some people say, have you ever seen a master gardener? A master gardener will get up, whether it's a male or female, he or she will get up and get to their garden with their gloves on and have that water bottle and spray it. And while they're spraying that plant, sometimes all they're spraying is the dirt where the plant is buried. But while they're spraying, they're talking to the dirt and they're declaring to the dirt, you are a beautiful plant. You're going to grow and you're going to develop. And that's how God talks to us. Now you are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what you shall be. God, he's the master gardener of our lives. And God, sometimes he sprinkles us. Wait a minute, he filled us with his Spirit first, and then God takes out his water bottle and he sprinkles us with waters of refreshing. I hear God say, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So God has planted us in his garden, and he sprinkles us with his love. He sprinkles us with his mercy. He sprinkles us with his long suffering. He sprinkles us with his grace. And he talks to us. He says, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can take it. God, he looks at us as we are developing in him. He says, wait a minute, there's some things that's holding you back. There's some things that has got in your flower pot that I need to dig around you and break up that fallow ground. So God takes out the pruning of his word. He said, you don't need that any longer. You don't need him any longer. You don't need her any longer. So let me cut this off. And the pruning sometimes, it hurts us. But I hear somebody said, in my earlier understanding, no pain, no gain. So sometimes God has to prune us so that we will bring forth more fruit unto him. So listen, the next time we're in the pruning process, we ought to praise God for the pruning, because pruning is not punishment. Glory God, glory to God. Search me, Lord, search me, Lord. Turn your light from heaven on my soul. Listen, some have plants in a greenhouse, and they put lights on them so they can grow. So I'm asking God, because it's my intention to go through the narrow gate, turn your light from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything, anything, anything that should not be, take it out. Pull it out from the roots and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Glory. Hallelujah. The narrow gate. I got to make it through the narrow gate. The Bible said,
that the kingdom of God it suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. We're marching. Thank you, Bishop Ussery. We're marching. We're moving. The kingdom of God is on a forceful advance. We're not weak, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are soldiers in the army of God. Sometimes through this process, all we can do is stand. So I declare to you, my brother and my sister, when you're challenged and you don't know what to do, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When God gets ready, you ain't gonna see that enemy no more forever. I gotta make it. I gotta make it through the narrow gate. Sometimes going through the narrow gate, you get some scars. You get some bruises, but I'll take them. I'll take the scars. I'll take the bruises. I'll take the pruning, because I realize my understanding is being opened that pruning is not punishment. It gives me a whole new perspective on what God is doing. Pruning is definitely not punishment. It's perfecting. God's perfecting us. He is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, the pruning process may not seem comfortable, but it's working for us. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. So the pruning process is not a time for complaining. If we really understand the pruning process, it's a time for praising. What are you praising for? I'm praising because God is still working on me. I'm praising because God has not allowed the garden of my life to be overrun with weeds. Weeds of hatred, weeds of malice, weeds of despair, weeds of depression. God is pruning us and getting us ready to go through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. All right. But the gate is narrow. Verse 14, Matthew 7. The gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Look at that. So don't follow the crowd, because they're going in the wrong direction. Well, you know what they say. Where they at? Well, you know what they say. I haven't found they yet. And I've been living 62 years. 63? And I ain't found they yet. Well, you know what they say. Where? Bring they to me and let me talk to they. Because they on the wrong path. They need me. They need you. Luke 13, verse 24, I'll stop here. Strive to enter by the narrow door. See that? Luke 13, 24. Strive. That means you gotta put the work in. Strive. It's going to be challenging, but you can do it. Strive. Strive to enter by the narrow door. I like how the Amplified Classic, he says, force yourself through it. You got to have some backbone. You got to have some spiritual backbone. I ain't falling for the devil's trick no more. He can,
he can miss me with that foolishness. I ain't the one. You got to tell the devil, I ain't the one. I ain't the one. Somebody said, I ain't the one or the two. Strive to enter. So that means there's some work involved. There's some work. Force yourself through it. Don't let nothing hold you back from getting in the narrow gate or the narrow door. Nothing. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. They don't have the qualifications. They didn't have their sins remitted. They didn't have their sins washed away. They haven't been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So they're on that narrow, they're on that broad way. They're on that broad path. They're on that spacious path. They think they're living comfortable. Oh, we got it going on. Yeah, but where you going to end up? Strive to enter by the narrow door. Force yourself. So, you know, sometimes we got to force ourselves to do what's right. Huh? Can I park there just for a minute? We got to force ourselves. Because our flesh is against God. Huh? In our own humanness, we don't want nothing to do with God. The Bible says the flesh is that enmity with the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because the power of the Holy Ghost will allow us to bring this flesh under subjection. What would we do without the Holy Ghost? We'd be a mess. Force yourself through it. Oh, glory. So the next time you're at a test, force yourself to go through it. Don't quit. Don't look for a towel to throw in. Force yourself to go through it. Next time somebody gets on your nerve, and that, especially that unsearchable, unidentifiable last nerve. I haven't found that yet in 62 years, 63 years. I haven't found that last nerve, but some folks say they're getting on my last nerve. So the next time they attempt to go near the vicinity of your last nerve, force yourself through it. Strive to enter by the narrow door. Force yourselves through it. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Some folks are going to have a rude awakening when they open up their eyes on the other side of eternity. Is this heaven? Nope. Nope. Lord, have mercy. You're talking about embarrassment. The narrow gate. It's going to cost us something to go through it, but it's well worth it. Lord, I want to go through the narrow gate. I want to enter the narrow door. So I go through the correction process. Correct me, prune me, cut stuff back, cut stuff away, dig up all around me, fertilize me with your word, fertilize me with your word. Fertilize me with your word. Refresh me with your spirit. We need refreshing from time to time. But whatever it takes, he's the master gardener. So don't shrink because of the pruning process. God knows what he's doing. He is going to present us to himself faultless. So let him do the work now. He's preparing us for the presentation. And we have to be willing to go through the narrow gate. I ain't running with everybody because everybody don't have their mind on Jesus. Oh, Lord. I think I'll stop there. I hope we got the message. It's a narrow way. We can't do what everybody does. We can't act like everybody. We can't go where everybody goes. But you got to force yourself. Lord, have mercy. Isn't that something? That amplified unpacks it. it makes it look, you got to put some effort back. Put some elbow grease in your salvation. Y'all remember the term elbow grease, right? When we was scrubbing out them pots with them Brillo pads, and mama said, no, that ain't it. You got to put some elbow grease on that. I want all of that out. Can you imagine God said, no, I want all of that out. Everything that ain't like me, you know, you got to put some elbow grease on that. I want that out. I want it out. God is saying, when I look at you, I want to see my reflection. So you put some elbow grease on that. No, you work on that thing. All right, okay. I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all ready to go? You can say yeah, because I'm ready to go. Come on, we got to be open and honest in church, right? No, see, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a Pharisee. No, we can stay for another hour. No, you ain't going to be here for another hour. Hypocrite. Pretenders. Preach, Pastor. No. What time the Jets play? What time the Raiders play? Come on. God desires truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, he shall make me to know wisdom. Let's just be real. Remember Bishop Clarence Moore? He said, when y'all get it, we can go. So y'all got it? All right, we can go. Let's stand.